Now it's good to be back here in Paisley this evening, and it's been a super day, hasn't it? Really has been great weather, especially for Scotland. I think the forecast for tomorrow is good, so we just praise God and give thanks to God. We should even give thanks to Him when the rain comes, but it's a lot easier to give thanks to Him when it's sunny, isn't it? So we give thanks to God for a beautiful day. Now, I know what it can be like sometimes if it's very warm and you've maybe had a big meal and you're feeling a wee bit drowsy. So I was told that I was allowed up to 7:30, but I'm going to try and be more conservative with my time rather than liberal, although maybe I shouldn't mention political parties at the moment, but I will try and stop a wee bit before then. To be honest with you, I think what we have to look at should, we will cover the time comfortably anyway, so it's good to be back along again to be with you this evening. Now, we're going to have a wee look at a well-known parable. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we'll find it in Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 9. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Now, we're going to just have a wee look at this. It's not a long message, but the 5 or 6 verses that we'll have a look at, it tells us quite a lot. It tells us about two men who, before God, really took stock of their own situation before God, and in quite different and in quite contrasting ways. So let's begin, shall we, by looking at verse 9 in Luke 18. And it says there, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" And then in the very last verse of our reading, verse 14, "I tell you that this man, rather than other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And we trust that the Lord will add a blessing to his word. We're going to look at two men who, as we've said, and as we've realised by now in the short reading that we have looked at, approach God in totally different ways. None could be more opposite than the other. And it's all about taking stock, really. It's all about how they took stock of their position and their situation before God. Quite a contrast between one, the Pharisee, and the other, the tax collector. And in the time that we have this evening, I would like us, if I could suggest this, to consider how we as individuals and collectively as a church take stock of our situation before God. It's something that there's no time like the present is a famous quote or a famous saying, and it's something that we can do tonight. It's something that perhaps we would want to do in the quiet time that we have with God later on this evening, and perhaps collectively as a church at the various meetings that we have. But it's all about taking stock, and I've made a note of some of the examples of taking stock in the world, and how we would take stock of what we have, and perhaps what we would like to gain or what we would like to achieve. And before we look at the verses that we've just read in a bit more detail, I'd like us just to consider some of the situations in your own life where you may have taken stock. Nancy and I, from time to time, do a car boot sale at Troon Concert Hall. And it's part of it's in aid of Barnardo's, the well-known children's charity. But of course, before we go along to the car boot sale, we have to take stock of what we have. We have to look in our loft, and those of you who have a loft at home will know it's just an excuse for storing lots and lots of items. But we have to take stock of what we have before we see if we will participate. And we were asked to attend in March, and because there was insufficient stock, we decided not to go along to the car boot sale. The next one, I believe, is in November, and I would think we would probably go along to that. The bottom line is, if you don't have enough stock, whether it be a car boot sale or if you go to any of these things and you may comment, well, that person didn't have much stock or that was a bit of a waste of time, then really the reality is then you have an insufficient display and you'll either make insufficient profit or, if it's been donated to charity, a very paltry donation. Now, ladies, if you've ever baked a cake, then you'll know that before you do that, you have to take stock of what ingredients you have before you bake the cake. And I'm sure you will have to refer to a recipe book. Or if you know the recipe very well, then you maybe just do it and you know it and you don't need to refer to the recipe book. But of course, what you have to do is you have to make sure you have sufficient stocks of ingredients in your cupboard. I was about to say pantry there, but that's an old-fashioned word. Maybe I'm giving my age away. But you have to take stock of what you have in the cupboard. Now, you may decide to omit one or two ingredients, but of course the result will be that the flavour of your pancakes or whatever you're making will be not as good as if you had included all of the proper ingredients. Lads, if you're into football or you're into sport, then you'll know that just within the last week, at least three Premier League managers have either been sacked or have decided to part ways with their football club. And of course, at the end of the season, every manager likes to take stock of how his team has done or how his team has performed in the league. And likewise, the chairman and the board of directors would like to take stock of how well the team has performed in the league. And of course, they know that if they have insufficient players for the next season, then or a lack of quality of players, then they will not be competitive in the league. Now, many companies, of course, do a stock take, don't they? And just a little while ago in Rich's, we did a stock take at the end of the financial year, March the 31st. Some of you may work for companies or organisations where they do a stock take at the end of the calendar year, which obviously is December the 31st. But many companies do a stock take of goods, more or less an inventory of goods and products. And if they don't do that, then obviously it has implications, financial implications, and of course it results in inaccurate records. So those are examples of some of the areas of taking stock, perhaps individually or perhaps at a company or organisational level. Now, I looked up the phrase stock take in Brewer's Dictionary of Phrase and Fable just to get a handle on what the actual meaning of stock take was. And Brewer's defines stock take as to ascertain how one's business stands, hence to survey one's position and prospects. All in all, it's taking stock of one's own position. We're not asking individuals to or ask someone else to come into stock take for them. We're asking the individual to do it themselves. So to be more or less to ascertain how one's business stands, hence to survey one's positions and prospects. Now, society encourages us to take stock of ourselves at the beginning, perhaps at the beginning of each calendar year, i.e. January the 1st. Now, those of you may have noticed that I carry a diary around with me, and I was in a bit of a panic recently because I didn't lose this, but I misplaced it, and I thought, oh dear, I've lost lots of information. But society does encourage us to take stock of our own situation at the beginning of the year. And of course, you can get into a stationer's and you can buy a diary, or if you look on your Microsoft Outlook, you've got a calendar, and you can put in your dates and you can plan for the year ahead. And then, of course, at the end of the year, you can look back and you can take stock of the previous year. You can look back and you can say, this is what I've done, this is what I haven't done, or this is what I've achieved, or this is what I haven't achieved. And, of course, the media builds it up into a wee bit of a frenzy, doesn't it? They sort of say before the end of the year, you know, you've indulged at Christmas time and all these foodstuffs, so why not go on a diet in the new year? Or they tell us or they invite us to turn over a new leaf. And, of course, they ask us to make New Year resolutions. And here we are at the end of May, the last day in May, and I wonder how many of those resolutions we made and how many of them we kept. I gave up making them long ago. And, of course, if you're perhaps thinking of a new job or looking for a new employer, then the recruitment agencies make a great play of New Year, New Career. So in the world, basically, the society encourages us to take stock of our own situation, perhaps to sweep things away and come in and just look in the new year positively. A time for reflection on how our previous year has gone and how to tackle the following. Now, for the believer in Christ and for us as believers, how do we take stock of our own situation? Now, if you're into stocks and shares, then, well, it's not been a great time the last 12 months, in particular the last 6 months. And I've made a note here what they tend to say, these folks. Past performance should not be taken as a guarantee of future yield and performance. The value of stocks may go down as well as up. So they insert a disclaimer. And I wonder if we're looking at our own Christian life, and although we're halfway through the year and there's no excuse why we shouldn't be stock taking halfway through the year, I wonder if we are just basing our remainder of the year on our past performance. How well have we done as a Christian before God in the last 6 months? Have we achieved what we wanted to achieve? Have we pleased God, or have we just satisfied self? And are we banking, or are we relying on that past good for performance to take us through the year? Almost like the team that's top of the league and decides, well, we've won the league, so we can just sit back and take our foot off the pedal for the remainder of the year. But we really want to take stock of our own position before God. I wonder what our weaknesses are. Has God shown us what our attributes are and our strengths? What we've done or what we've not done, and what we're going to do over the following months. And we must remember it's all done in God's strength. And as we have read, and as we're going to look at in more detail in just a few moments, the tax collector approached God with a humility and a humbleness. And anything we do in terms of a stock take, in our own spiritual position, in our own Christian walk, in order to determine what we have done with the things that God has given to us, making an inventory of our Christian life, we have to remember that as we strive to be Christ-like, we will never be, we will never achieve Christ-like perfection. But it's done in God's strength, and it should be done in humbleness and in humility. Why wait to January of next year? I suggest that we look at stock taking as much as we're halfway through the year. Now, I believe that God is speaking to us as individuals and also collectively as a company. God can speak to us and challenge us through His Holy Spirit. If we are saved, and I would suggest that most of us, if not all of us in the building tonight, have made that commitment and that profession, then, you know, there is a tendency that we can say, well, everything has been done, And everything, yes, was done in the cross, but we should never be complacent. We should never rest on our laurels. And I think it's always good, if you are a believer, to just hear the gospel message. I know that you have your family service here on a Sunday morning, and the gospel is preached faithfully every Sunday morning. And it's great just to be reminded that there was a time in our own lives where we placed our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, a trust that we're committed today as the first day that we placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's good to be reminded, isn't it, that we are believers. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be reminded that we are Christians. We are saved. It's good to be reminded that we've made a profession of faith. It's good to be reminded that our sins are forgiven. But I believe that tonight God is challenging us through His Word again. A challenge to believers to just refresh ourselves on our position before God. And as we look at in the moments that we have, our position before God and how we would approach God and approach God in the correct fashion. Now, we would want to move forward. Someone once said, well, we never stand still in our Christian walk. We never stand still in a Christian walk. I suppose if we stand still in our Christian walk, we're not going forward, we're probably going back. And I would ask you, no matter what age you are, from the youngest to the oldest, are you going forward for God, individually and collectively as a company here in Paisley? And that's a real challenge. And I include myself in that as well. And it's easy, isn't it, just to get caught up in the hurly-burly of the world and all the things that can crowd into our lives. But there's a real challenge there for us as believers, as Christians tonight. Are we approaching God and taking stock of our own situation in humbleness and in humility and wanting and striving to move forward? What have we done with our lives in the past few weeks and in the past few months? I suppose if we put one another on the spot and we ask one another, have you taken stock and what have you done for God in the last few weeks and the few months, then I would suggest and I would hope and pray that none of us would be struggling for an answer. None of us would be struggling for an answer. You know, it's easy for us just to talk about all sorts of different things, and I include myself in this. Easy for us to talk about the football and work and this, that and the next thing. But we should really be concentrating, and there's no harm in these things, but we should really be concentrating our thoughts on things of above. And I wonder if we speak about these things so frequently and so easily. There are other examples in the New Testament of the things that God has given to us and what we do with them. And there are other parables and how we can use them to glorify Christ. Not to glorify self, but to glorify Christ and what we do with them. And then, of course, we're thinking on the parable of the talents. And I suggest that we are all keeping these things to the fore and not burying them. If we look at Luke 18 and just take a sort of general overview of the chapter, and time dictates that we will not look at the whole chapter this evening. But if we take a sort of overview of Luke chapter 18, I suppose we could extract another message from it. Quite clearly there is a gospel message in the few verses that we've read in terms of the believer's response to Christ, or the individual who comes to Christ, should I say, and puts himself before Christ and realises his own unworthiness, and the proud individual. But also, if we look at Luke 18 as a whole, then we could perhaps extract some other points from it. And one of the thoughts would be that there are key sections of the chapter that deal on the subject of prayer. And of course, taking stock of our own situation, taking stock of ourselves collectively as a church, but just if not more importantly as an individual, then we can approach God through prayer, can't we? And it's marvellous to think that we have this commission to go forward and preach the gospel, but we also have a tremendous privilege, don't we? If a gentleman walked through the door and said, I want someone to take this bag of £1,000 or take this diamond and I want you to look after it and I'll be back in 2 weeks' time to collect it, then if you were tasked with that, then I'm sure you would entrust it safely. You may go and put it in a safe, but you would entrust it safely. And really, we have something that is greater, far greater than riches, than money, than diamonds. We have the good news of Christ. But we also have a great responsibility. And one of the things that we can do, as we know, is whether we're struggling, perhaps we have been blessed greatly, then we can come to God and we can give Him thanks for the stock that we have. We can give Him thanks for the blessings that He has given to us. Whether that was many years ago or whether that was just half an hour ago, then we can give thanks to Him through prayer. There's no middleman. We have a direct link to Christ and we can come to Him. We can come to Him through prayer. If we consider the parable of the persistent widow, which is in chapter 18 and in the first 8 verses, then if we took time to read that, then we would see that persistence, the widow had a testing time, but because she persisted, God eventually was able to act there. And God will act at the right time. It will not be too late, and it will not be too soon. And I trust that we're never in a position where we cry out to God, it's too soon or it's too late. But through persistence, the widow was rewarded. And I would trust that we are persistent in our prayer. My own brother is not a Christian, and I prayed for him for many, many years. Perhaps you have someone in your family who's not a Christian. Then persistent prayer. There are other things that we should pray for, and many examples of that I'm sure you can think of in your own personal life. We've considered the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we will revisit them in just a few moments. And then, of course, if we read further on in chapter 18 over to verse 35, and there we can look at the few verses that considers a blind beggar who receives his sight. And he prayed, or he said to Christ when asked, what do you want me to do for you? In verse 41. And he clearly said there, just before verse 42, Lord, I want to see. So he told the Lord plainly. He anticipated his need and he just told the Lord plainly. And I would suggest that if we have an issue with our stock, or if we have a concern and a worry, through prayer, then we can speak plainly to Christ. There's no need for gobbledygook. There's no need for any long-windedness. We can just come to Christ and we can speak plainly. With no fancy language, we can speak plainly to Him. How marvellous that is, isn't it? How marvellous that is, being able to speak plainly to Him. But let's consider, shall we, the Pharisee and the collector. We've dipped into some other verses and we've had some other thoughts regarding our own personal position. I'm sure you're mulling over your own situation. But let's consider some of the verses in the remaining time that we have regarding the Pharisee and the tax collector. Two men here went to pray. They went to pray in the temple. And as we have considered, quite a different approach in how they were taking stock of their own situation and how they were going to present themselves to God. I suppose we would consider that the first portion of the Pharisee would be addressed to those who have a lot of pride. Those who pride in themselves and are righteous and see others as inferior. And I trust that we don't fall into that category. I trust none of us have slipped or will slip into the situation where we think we're better than others. Perhaps those around about us or those outside. There's the saying there, but for the grace of God go I. And we were but guilty sinners before. And through God's grace, we have been saved. So we should never be looking down on anyone. We should never be filled up with pride. Pride comes before a fall is the famous saying, or the well-known saying. Verse 9 says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, confident of their own righteousness. And I've made a few notes here on how we might look down on others, how we might be confident of our own righteousness. Well, we might look down on others because we feel that we have a better house, or we have a better car, or we have a better job, or we're better dressed, or we don't like this other person because of their demeanour, or we weigh them up because of their education, or perhaps the way they pray, perhaps the way they give out a hymn in the morning meeting. Perhaps we look down on them because they don't have a grasp of spiritual matters, and so on and so forth. So I trust that we are not displaying the characteristics of the Pharisee in verse 9 to some who are confident of their own righteousness. We may feel tonight we are righteous and we're okay before God, but I suggest that we just examine our own hearts tonight and take stock of our own position before God. You know, the interesting thing to note is that if you look at the verses, then you will see that the Pharisee frequently uses the pronoun I. Frequently uses the pronoun I, and perhaps this is displaying this conceited and this self-sufficient character. In verse 11, he stands up. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. So you would look at this and you would read this and you would think, well, you know, that's good, he's coming to God in prayer. He realises that he needs to come to God in prayer. So I suppose initially we're quite hopeful that he'll come to God in prayer and he'll take stock of his own situation. But you know, he's really, as we read on in the verses, I'm sure we'll agree that he's really going through the motions, isn't he? He's going through the motions of prayer. He's boasting of his own morals, really, isn't he? He's boasting of his own morals, and he is not focused. He's focusing not on himself, but he's focusing on others round about him. And he says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I wonder if we've ever fell into the trap of saying that. Thank God I'm not like other men. I trust we haven't. For all have sinned, and we were in that position as well, and yet, but for the grace of God, we were saved. Yes, we should be considering others round about us, the sinners, the robbers, the evildoers, the adulterers. And we know that this world is full of evil men. But we should not be looking down on them. We should be praying for them. We should be praying for their salvation. We should not be indulging in gossip or tittle-tattle about them. We should not be looking for the bad in them. We should be looking for Christ to save them from their sin, just as Christ saved us from our sin at a point in our lives. I fast twice a week, he says in verse 12. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Well, he was confident there. The Pharisee was confident his own deeds were good enough. Again, I would challenge ourselves, us tonight, and I include myself in this. Are we confident that our deeds have been good enough? Are we just resting on our good value of stock and taking no consideration for the future? Do we believe it's sufficient enough? There's no confession there before God, is there? As we've said and as we realise and as we read, he's pointing the finger at other men and there's no confession of his own position. And there we are, he offers to give a tenth of all he's got. I wonder if we give God our all. I wonder if we give God our all and not just a tenth. I've made a few notes here in terms of how we would consider our own stock and where we are before God tonight, before we come on and look at the tax collector. Are we caught up in our own righteousness? Well, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I come to the meeting once or twice a week and I'm fine with God. Do we look to others like Jesus did with love, compassion and graciousness? Or are we more concerned like the Pharisee about ourselves and how we appear before others? Have we been good stewards of what God has provided for us? The Pharisee's self-righteousness hindered his closer walk with God, I've noted here. I wonder what's hindering ours, if anything. Surely we can have a closer walk with God than what we have just now. Just a closer walk with thee is the famous old hymn, isn't it? But I wonder if there's anything that's hindering us tonight to have a closer walk with God. Perhaps it may be jealousy, perhaps it may be anger, perhaps it may be bad thoughts about someone. Perhaps it may be a hidden sin. Perhaps it may be a disagreement with someone else. Perhaps it's because you're not keen on something or someone else. But I wonder what's hindering a closer walk with Christ. The Pharisee was quick to criticise others. I wonder if we're quick to criticise others. Yes, it's good to correct, but I trust that correction and direction is done with Christ. Love. Are we thankful for the blessings and the stock that God has given to us day by day? I remember many years ago an old preacher said to me, "In everything be thankful." And I gave him a sort of puzzled look, and he could see that I was puzzled. And he said, even if you wake up in the morning, be thankful that God has given you the strength to open your eyes in the morning. Now the tax collector, here's the difference, isn't it? The tax collector, as we read in the final few verses, and we will consider in the few minutes that we have, he doesn't plead his good works, but he asks for God's mercy on forgiving him. In verse 13 we read, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And it's interesting to note that he saw himself as not one sinner amongst many, but he saw himself as the sinner. The sinner, done in humbleness and humility. And the essential difference between the two is the Pharisee compared with others and saw himself better, but the tax collector compared with Christ and saw how far short he was. The tax collector realised that his stock was impoverished. And I wonder if our stock is impoverished tonight. He realised he had to totally rely on God. And I wonder tonight, taking this as a message to believers, I wonder if we're still totally relying on God. We can look back with joy to the day we placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I trust that we are still doing that and we are still thinking on Christ or these things. Impoverished. Yeah, perhaps it's a poor prayer life we have. Perhaps it's sporadic or non-existent. Perhaps it's poor relations with other believers. Perhaps it's a disagreement with a fellow brother or sister in the church. The tax collector realised he was a sinner and had to get right before God. But the interesting thing for us as believers is it was done in self-humility and repentance. And self-humility and repentance is acceptable to God. Self-humility and repentance is acceptable to God. I'm just going to read a short extract from our Daily Bread from April the 15th regarding humility and coming to God in repentance. Even as a believer, we have to keep short checks on our stock and how our stock is viewed by God. A music professor with a well-trained voice usually sang the major male solo parts in the choir of a large church. A young man named Bob, with no training, sometimes took a few shorter solos. As the choir director prepared for the Christmas concert, she felt that Bob's voice and style made him a natural for the lead role. However, she didn't know how she could give it to him without offending the older man. So you can realise her predicament. But her anxiety was unnecessary. The professor had the same thoughts as she did, and he told her that Bob should take the part. He continued to sing faithfully in the chorus and was a source of much encouragement to Bob, the younger man. And the writer notes here, is people who can set aside selfish ambition and genuinely seek the good of others have an attitude that pleases God. And the writer is noting, do you remember how John the Baptist reacted when the crowds left him and began following Jesus? He said, and this is quoted from John 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. What did John the Baptist and the music professor have in common? They were able to set aside selfish ambition. They were happy to see others elevated above themselves when it was for the common good. Can the same be said about us? He must increase, but I must decrease. I trust as we consider these things, and time has gone, and with this I'll close. I trust as we consider these things, and as we think on the Pharisee and the tax collector, two different men, quite a different approach coming to God. They took stock of their own situation. They considered their position before God. Yet, how great the contrast between the two. I believe there's a message for us as believers and as Christians tonight that as we look back to the day we became Christians, we can look forward, but with that there comes a responsibility. And I suggest even as we approach the 1st of June and we're halfway through the year, we take stock of our own personal lives before God tonight. Perhaps there's something that's troubling you. Perhaps there's something that you're concerned about. Communicate with God this evening. Lay it before him and come to God tonight as the tax collector did, in humbleness and in humility. And perhaps it may even be a repentance. And God will bless you in your Christian walk. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks again for this opportunity just to open your word and just to consider these things. We thank you, Father, that your word is varied. We can glean so much from it. We thank you, Father, that the analogy and the parable between the Pharisee and the tax collector has relevance for us, even as Christians. Father, we look at this passage and we consider a Pharisee who came to you as a proud man. Father, we would ask for forgiveness tonight if we've come to you at any time in our lives with pride. Father, help us to steer clear of pride. Help us to just emulate this tax collector who came in humility, but ultimately to be more Christ-like, to be like your Son. Father, we will never achieve Christ-like perfection, but we thank you, Father, that you can strengthen us. You can give us correction and direction. And as we look around as an individual, we just give you thanks for that. Help us, Father, in our Christ-like walk. Help us to take stock personally and also collectively as a church as we move forward. Help us just to expand and just to proclaim your message in this town of Paisley. Help us to have a real love and a desire and outreach for those around us who are steeped in sin, those who are troubled and those who are upset and concerned at this time. We pray perhaps too, Father, for our own families at this time. Some of them may be unsaved. So we lay all these things before you, but we give you thanks for your blessings and goodness to us. Bless us as individuals now and as a company, and be with those especially who have been unable to be with us this evening for whatever reason, whether through illness or other pressing matters. We give you thanks now in your worthy and loving and precious name. Amen.